Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we've got, and it might be hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know, we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too. And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss the grin the britches. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too. You love this podcast too.
Welcome back to the latest Mountain West Connection radio show here, MWCConnection.com, Twitter, MWC Connection, Facebook, you guessed it, Mountain West Connection. Sorry for the late show, folks. Jeremy.
About time.
Oh, let me introduce, we have a new co-host tonight. First, I'm Jeremy Moss. We haven't seen this guy, Chris Hondris, in a while.
Yeah, in a full week.
A full week.
You guys missed me already?
Week and a half, really, because you're on the week four recap show. This is the week six preview.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
One thing as well, I mentioned this with Matt Kennerly, who helped out on Sunday night. We need to be more positive. We're too negative.
Apparently we're too negative, but it really, when, you know, our expectations are either broken because whatever, or, you know, well, fine, we just need to be more positive. But how do we put positive spins on losses that shouldn't happen?
We'll work on it. We'll see what we can do. We'll make sure we say some positive things about every school along the way. So,
great uniforms.
Yeah, uniform. We got helmets. There's a nice helmets, Air Force helmets, right?
Helmets. Yes. Should we get into that? Air Force, awesome uniforms as usual.
Do we know what Navy's wearing?
Don't care. Sink Navy.
Of course. Oh, awesome news about this game. We actually have a photographer at this game.
Do?
Yes, we do. Our guy, Ronnie Glover, he was at the Notre Dame Air Force game last year. We finally got him credentials for this game. I don't know why it took 3 weeks, but thank you, Air Force, for letting it happen. He will take in some photos, emailing me back to myself. We'll post on the website.
Do you know who else was supposed to be at this game?
You.
Yes.
So what happened with that?
Just curious. What happened was I couldn't get tickets last minute, and work has been...
You got a job.
Extremely busy. Yeah.
You got this thing called a job. That's what it is. That's also why the infograph's not up. I've been, not to complain, but we're working a bunch, so it's taking some time to get going, but...
I'm almost finished. It'll be out tomorrow morning.
Yeah. Hoping next week. My new position, we're behind a little bit, so I get to work overtime, so I get more money, but still.
Yeah. No, I'm actually almost finished with the infograph.
Excellent.
I did most of that myself today.
Okay, really quick, since we already put the... I haven't got your thoughts on this, Chris. We did the power poll last week. A lot of ties. Who was your top three teams? Because it's a mess.
Do you have my responses?
I don't know who the responses were from.
My responses were... my responses were Nevada was one. I moved San Diego State up to two and Air Force to three.
Okay.
Temporarily.
So what were your thoughts about last
Boise week? Dropped down to five or six for me.
I dropped them low. So really quick, we'll get to the games. Since we didn't get to discuss anything, how much of that Boise – you were gone. Did you get to see any of that Boise State game or just
– No, nothing.
Highlights or lowlights?
No, I didn't get to see any Mountain West games, which is why – you substituted for me last week and why I asked to be substituted.
You're busy, I understand.
So
what were your thoughts in the game then? Because you read about it, you kind of heard what's going on.
Well, I guess my sort of thing is, you know, the Air Force's defense must be phenomenal. One, to force 7 turnovers.
Some were J.J. struggling to get the extra yard, and we know he has the tendency to lose cop of the ball.
Yeah. You know, the offense couldn't get going until Ryan Finley stepped into the game. But that's more, I think that's less of a Grant Hendrick needs to not be the starter, and more of when you have a quarterback who's struggling, do you have a reliable backup who can at least keep the team fighting? And that's what we did show. It'll be interesting to see how Grant Hendrick plays out this week, and we'll get to that game in, you know, 20 or 30 minutes here. But I really also didn't know what else to make of this game. I really think that Air Force was severely underrated.
Yeah, we'll get to the Falcons when they play Navy, but I mentioned with Matt, this was probably their best. You don't want to just throw out the best performance ever, but when's the last time you've seen them do 7 turnovers? They were harassing, stopping the running game, getting after Hendrick. Even Finley had threw an interception. They had a tough. They were just flying. This is, like I mentioned, this is the best defense since Tim DeRuiter was there, and it's been a long time since he's been their DC.
And I'll be honest. Right before, let's keep them moving. But You know, this Boise State fans, this is what you guys wanted. You guys wanted to be in a more difficult conference. You know, obviously, it'd be nice to win a lot more. But when you said the Mountain West was mediocre, everything like that, the talent, Boise State's talent has not gone down. And we're not sure how much the rest of the conference's talent has gone up.
It's also a little bit of coaching.
The tenacity is there a lot more than I think it was.
And one last thing on that game before we move on to next week. This was not a game that they lost because Air Force is their unique offense. Far from it.
No, because Boise still managed to hold Air Force 28 points. That's 4 touchdowns, be that what you will.
And you're 7 turnovers, so that
7 turnovers, so to all 28 of those points off turnovers, then there
most,
you go.
Most
as well.
Likely. I mean, I don't have it in front of you, but that's a safe bet.
Right?
Yeah. Okay, let's go on. It's just a great game by Air Force. We'll get into all the games and try to make sense next week in our power ranking. So let's start 2 games Friday night. San Diego State at Fresno State. Hey, these teams are both undefeated in West Division play, or Mountain West play. So it's 10 Eastern, CBS Sports Network. Thanks for that. No, that's fine. It's just a dueling game because Utah State at BYU is essentially at the same time. So, Aztecs at Fresno State. San Diego State was favored when this started by about a point or two, but Fresno is now it's moved all the way to a field goal favorite. How is that possible? I know there's a true freshman quarterback playing, but how is that possible? Fresno's been terrible. Sorry, I'll be positive. They struggled mightily during a time of transition.
They have struggled mightily in a time that they really should have struggled mightily, but even then they shouldn't have struggled mightily that much. I don't think Fresno State, and this is me going back, I don't think Fresno State is as – Fresno State has improved. They really have. And I think with the win versus New Mexico last week, and once again, or was it last week? Yes, it was last week. And it was a game that they very well could have lost because New Mexico did have an upper hand for at least part.
They struggled in that game. Give Fresno credit for coming back in the second half to pull away, but this was a game that was a struggle for about 3 quarters.
The fact that they pulled out the win on the road. Brian Burrell will stick with being the starter.
Finally,
and I think things are definitely beginning to click.
Where's it? You think it's on the road? I saw a good amount of this game. You watch it. It's what is it called? University Stadium there in Albuquerque. Kickoff comes. Sorry, Lobo fans, but the stadium was empty, and the commentators half joking. Well, the students and fans must still be having a good time tailgating outside the stadium. It was empty. It's like, come on. But I don't know what to make. The best thing is Brian Burrell's the starting quarterback. It took you 4 games to get there, but they finally know who it is. And he looked pretty good versus New Mexico.
This is a situation, but see, here's the thing. This is a situation of if Fresno State had a 3-point advantage, that's basically giving them home team advantage. The fact that they've got a 4-point advantage, that gives Fresno State the very slight advantage. And that has to do with San Diego State losing their best wide receiver and losing their quarterback.
Yeah, you got Nick.
Remember that odds are based off statistics and speculation.
No, what it is, you're right there in the heart of it. It's what's the most money we can get equal betting on each side.
Right, and so here's the thing. If you have people betting against Fresno, if you change the line to favor Fresno a little bit more, that's going to get people to kind of freak out.
Yeah. And the big three's not changed because, like I said, Quinn Kaler's out. I don't recall. Do you know how long he is out? I he's out with the shoulder. Was it sprained shoulder? I believe it was. Yeah, sprained right shoulder. I don't even think I recall reading how long he's out. But true freshman Nick Bowden, who did graduate early. He came in January. Even though Rocky Long said he hates when high school players come in early, he was a 4-string quarterback at the end of spring. He's now the starting quarterback. He was technically a 3-star quarterback out of high school, but it depends where you look at 2 to 3. He wasn't even the top. He's like the top 50 pro style freshman quarterback in the country. So okay, out of 50 guys, that's not that great. It's okay. It's good. He moved up to play, but I read a lot of people that this will, like, even our good friend David Frerick over at with the San Diego Sports Domination. Oh, they're fine. Playbook will open up. A lot more plays. I'm like, are you kidding me? A true freshman on the road, his first ever game. They're not going to open up the playbook. If anything, they're going to shrink it quite a bit.
And even if they shrink it, as long as the playbook is accurate, if you're sticking with small, short passes, that can be, in fact, a lot more effective than, you know, a deep balls everywhere.
No, it can still work. The main difference, he is a stronger arm and he's more mobile. They may change some plays, but they're not going to expand the playbook for his first ever start, even though our guy, one of our San Diego State guys, Patrick Carr, says Nick Bowden, could open up Aztec's playbook against Fresno State. I think what they mean open up means different set of plays perhaps, but nothing. You know what I mean? Like, if he has a bigger arm, yeah, there might be some more deep balls, but they're not going to expand it and make it too difficult. They're going to want to make it reasonably simple. Even though he's midway through the season, they're not going to ask him to do what Kaler was doing.
Yeah.
I think when
we're talking about, you know,
I mean, he's never completed the pass. Ever.
Yeah. But the more important question is, what the hell is going to happen in this game? Forget what the spread says.
Yeah.
If the playbook's going to open up, it's going to open up in the sense that different plays are going to be called, not the ones that they're used to the regular quarterback sticking, the regular playmaker. That is a form of opening up the playbook.
Yeah.
Okay.
They'll do more rollouts with them. They'll do some bootlegs, because that's what he can do. So you see a lot of those moving the pocket.
Now, that being said, you know, one of the things that we've noticed about Fresno State the last few weeks, and I'm not sure if we've really touched on this at all, is Fresno State has lost a lot of defense.
Hey, two guys leave the program last week, a couple pair of backup defensive
backs. Yeah, just this last week. However, their defense has improved immensely. Now, obviously, that's against much, much weaker competition.
Yeah.
But
New Mexico and Southern Utah.
Yeah, New Mexico and Southern Utah. But you know what? In that game, the New Mexico game, really quick, New Mexico only had 382 yards of offense. And I say only, but, I mean, they only had 285 yards rushing on the ground. That's not a lot for New Mexico.
They're averaging well over 300, I believe.
Yeah, this defense is looking better every single week. And I think that's what game this game is going to turn out. It's going to be a defensive, you know, it will be a defensive struggle.
It's also a rivalry game, too.
It's very much a rivalry game. There is an oil can at stake.
Yeah.
Oil. So.
Oil can.
Yeah, it is.
I know. Why is it an oil can?
This game's going to get defensive, and I'm going to say that at most, both of these teams are going to be in the low 20s.
So we'll get back to my big thing is still with Nick Bowden being the quarterback. Who's he going to throw it to? Ruffin's still out. He's a true freshman guy. He's going to target on one receiver most likely. I'm wondering if they'll stick Deron Smith on the number one Aztec receiver. Maybe Eric Judge, perhaps.
Oh, they have to. Stick Deron Smith on Judge.
Though he's a safety, maybe he may not. Well, he is a safety. He's not.
Oh yeah, they do.
Cornerback, but you got to do something. At least put him on that side of the field. So if he's going to throw to their best guy, there's possibly the best defender in the league right there to knock the ball down or pick him off.
Oh yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I think you have to, if you're Tim DeRuiter, you have to stick Deron Smith on Eric Judge. He's your most effective team leader. Now, he's only caught 10 receptions this whole season.
Also, only three games as well. He hasn't played every game.
Right. He's only played three games. But that's for 160 yards. That's 16 yards a catch. You can't have that kind of thing.
No. I think what San Diego State will probably do is they got to lean on Donald Pumphrey to run the ball. Because they'll be successful running the ball, and he's such a good running back. He will probably get the yards. He'll get the yards against his Fresno State defense. That's why I'm assuming they'll give a lot to him. And they're at least in the first half, they're not going to want what San Diego State wants to do is run the ball Pumphrey, move it that way, not have to pass overly amount. They're not going to just reel it in to do 80% running, but they're going to want to run the ball more often than pass and do some play action. Fresno, what they'll want to do is attack, and force him to throw the ball, force Rocky Long to call passing plays, because you get second and long and third and long. That's what they're going to want to do in this game, to try to just beat up the true freshman and say, make him beat you.
So, all this being said, all this preview stuff that we're going to do, who's going to win this game?
I don't know. That's a terrible answer.
Hey, you gave me your picks earlier today. Are you sticking to those picks? Because we got to publish this infographic.
Oh, hold on. Where's my Gmail account? I believe I chose, was I choose Aztecs? Is that right?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, Aztecs are going to win. They're going to cover the spread. I guess we put it at 3, I believe. That's what I pulled up. It's going to be, because you got a couple things. It's a rivalry game. This is going to be a big decider in the West Division. Just even though both teams are 2-2 and 2-3 overall, they're 1-0 in league play each. This will be the deciding factor. Then later when they both play Nevada.
And both of these teams have to play Nevada.
Yeah, they both play Nevada, and we'll look at schedules the rest later. But I just think the Aztecs, I don't know. I got to go with my pick, but I'm not confident because the true freshman quarterback, not saying Fresno State's not the toughest place to play at, really, but
You can't really be confident in a rivalry game. I picked San Diego State as well. I think San Diego State will probably pull out the win on the road in a rivalry game. I'm going to say they win by 5 points.
It's going to be because of Donnell Pumphrey. That's the reason they're going to win. They're going to run the ball a lot with him and not ask Nathan. I'm getting the games mixed up. The quarterback, the freshman. I am terrible apparently tonight. To have him start and beat you. It's going to be Pumphrey running the ball. Nick Bowden, that's it. I wanted to say Nick Kaler, but I knew that wasn't right. Nick Bowden is going to do okay, but it's going to be Pumphrey the reason why they win.
Yes, absolutely.
So, next game, well, 15 minutes later, Utah State at BYU. We did not bring up the unfortunate news at the start of the show, but
because it's not really news anymore. But if people live in a box and still haven't heard, Chucky Keaton is essentially out for this game, possibly out for the season. And which means he'll probably end his college football career unless he gets a medical redshirt.
Yeah, let's back up a little. There's a rumor which Utah State immediately dismissed. A BYU defensive lineman, they had their media session during the day, Remington Peck. All I hear, they're going to do a medical redshirt. Well, a couple things with that. You can't do a medical redshirt or even apply until the season's over. So there's no way to knowing that that was the case. Who knows what he heard, but and because this is about the same time Utah State press conference is going on as well, or about to be. It, obviously, word, Twitter and stuff, word got down to up to Logan from Provo pretty quickly about this. A representative said, nope, not the case. No truth about it. They're joking about it. Matt Well, head coach Matt Well says, we're going to evaluate during practice, talk to the doctors. Monday and even Tuesday when he was on BYU Sports Nation, the radio program, obviously about BYU sports. He's like, I'm giving this answer 1,000 times. We're going to look at him at practice and then evaluate from the doctors what they say. That was Tuesday. Tuesday after an evening, the press release comes out. Chucky Keaton's season is likely over. So, did he not practice Monday? Or I don't know what, you know what I mean? It's kind of weird where he's like, we'll wait and see. He's all basically done forever now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, but it's terrible because I tell like a lot of people, like, oh, people on Twitter, like, especially BYU fans, we know there's always a special section of a fan base for every school. Am I right?
Right.
Like, oh, Chucky Keaton's not good, but whatever. Oh, Chucky, nothing. Yeah, he never got to see his best win was beating a bad Utah team 2 years ago. And so, whatever, that's still a good best win they've had ever. Go back to your freshman, the Auburn game. Everybody, if you go on Twitter when Chucky's playing, you'll see Stuart Mandel, Adam Kramer, Michael Felder, Kevin McGuire, everybody, Spencer Hall. It's all about Chucky. It's all about Chucky, right?
All about Chucky. And because so, Chucky is one of those players, he's phenomenal when he's on the ground. He always seems like he knows what he's doing. But now we can't talk about Chucky.
It's unfortunate. I don't know if he'll be able to play again or what the... Because they didn't even really say what the deal with it. It says he can't go. Right. And the injury was in that Wake Forest game, the non-contact. Yes, dude who put the reply to me, it was a non-contact where he fell down. But it's unfortunate because he had the close game versus Wisconsin. The cup didn't play very well versus BYU. Did he? He never beat Boise State. Am I correct?
Never beat USC.
Yeah, the USC game for the terrible, terrible call against Tyler Larson, illegal man downfield. Terrible call. Wisconsin was a coaching issue, even though he needed to make the play. It's just unfortunate. He's out. Now they have Daryl Garrett in there. They're playing BYU. It's now an 18-point favorite.
21.
Oh, it's up to 21 now? Oh, my goodness.
That's the spread I put on the info.
Well, that's what has on ESPN now. Is that what Odd Shark has as well, I believe? I'll look it up now. But even when Chucky was questionable, it was 14 points. I'll look at my pick now. I don't want to spoil it now, but that's a lot of points.
It is a lot of points. And BYU has not looked that good the past 2 weeks.
Even 14 and a half when it first opened was a lot of points, in my opinion.
No, I could see covering 14 and a half. BYU? Oh, yeah.
I still thought that. I mean,
here's the thing.
No, but what are the odds for? The odds are for to put action on either side. And right. I felt that was too much to do that. There would be a lot more. But it's gone the opposite way. Even before Chucky. Because I remember looking at the odds on Vegas Insider. I don't know when they opened. It may have been Saturday night or Sunday. Sunday,
so Chucky's worth 6.5 points.
No, not even that. Sunday night, it went from 14.5 to 18.5. It jumped before we even knew on the Chucky news. Then it's up to 3 points. I don't know. They say opening 21 here, but I saw it Vegas Insider is like at 14. But regardless, I think that's a lot of points because I was on a radio station, Salt Lake, or Provo, well, whatever the station is, discussing this game for a while. And then I heard him before, like, yeah, BYU's always dominated, which they have, but the last couple years it's been close. Their main thing kind of discussed is, like, who does Utah State have, like, to do anything on offense? And I made the point out, if Utah State's going to win, it's got to be a low-scoring game.
And guess what? The last 2 weeks, BYU's played Houston. They played Houston very closely.
Closer than it should have been.
Closer than it should have been.
And Virginia.
They let Virginia win most of the game before they came back in the final quarter to win. Vegas odds, oh, by the way, it opened up at 14.5, but depending on where you look, it's between 20.5 and 21. We're talking MGM Mirage, Wynn, Caesars.
Yeah, I'm at the VegasInsider.com. 14.5.
No, that was opening.
Yeah, yeah, so I mean 14.5 opening, yeah.
But I can't take the 20.5
points. No, there. No. I went Utah State. Here's the thing. I went through all the stats and stuff. And one ridiculous thing that guy said, because the host we were chatting was like, what does Utah State do defensively good? Well, they're number 6 in Asian tackles for loss. And he kind of, not to be rude or bash a guy, but kind of dismissed that, saying, well, it doesn't matter if there's tackles for losses. That's not going to bother Taysom Hill or BYU. I'm like, dude, if you have third and, I didn't say it, but if you have third and 15, second and 12, you know what I mean? Third and 12, second and 10, if it's...
Well, Taysom Hill can easily run the 15 yards by first down.
No, well, I get your point, but it's like, you can't dismiss that. I mean, even losing the best defensive player, like Kyle Fackrell's gone for the year. He was projected, and who knows if he's going to go to the NFL or not, because he's just a junior. He was projected early on to be like a first-round pick. They lose him, and they're still number 6 in tackles for loss. Yeah, you're playing Wake Forest. Okay, you're not playing super good teams, but neither is BYU. They're playing a bad Texas team. Who they beat pretty easily, which is still impressive. But beating it with that type of talent is good. But like I said, they're not beating out opponents outside of that game. Virginia game was close. Houston game was close. If you get tackles for loss, that's always good. I was like, come on, you gotta give them something.
We could say this is a bad Houston team as well.
Yeah, look at it tonight. Yeah, it's what I'm thinking is this is looking at the numbers. I was thinking, this has to be the best defense BYU's played. It's not. Virginia and Houston are reasonably close when you go to yards per play and total yards per game. It's reasonably close to those two schools, but Utah State already has 3 defensive touchdowns. They get to the ball, able to force the ball with Nate Vigil, they have BJ Larson, Brian Sweet in the secondary, freshman, name excuse me, had two picks, yeah, Idaho State, but I think this is the best defense they're going to be facing this year. And I don't know if Utah State's going to win, but it's going to be – they're going to hold – this is going to be a struggle for BYU, I think, especially if if Utah State can force BYU to throw. Because Utah State's secondary, even though it's not as good, it's still very good by losing Nevin Lawson and Mo Alexander to the NFL.
Yeah, and I'm going to go ahead and I want to say I do think BYU wins this game.
Is this not your stupid upset pick against your hated Cougars?
No, because it kills me since BYU actually looks good.
They do. They look good.
They look good, but they haven't looked as good as they have in past weeks, which is why I think this game is going to be close.
They let teams back in.
I'm going to say BYU is going to win by a touchdown or less, but nevertheless, the Cougs will pull it out. But BYU's time is coming. They're not going to finish this season.
We'll see. They got Nevada. They got Boise State. They got Cal. We'll be talking about a lot of BYU this year just because who they play in the Mountain West, UNLV and everything.
Because they're in the Mountain West?
No, because who they play in the Mountain West.
I thought they were back in the Mountain West.
I got asked that question. Okay.
They're not in the Mountain West. We don't want them back.
I was on for 25 minutes. If you ever listen to a radio interview, that's a long time for one person.
The fact that your voice is cracking over this.
It was hilarious.
It must be stressing you out.
No, I was fine. There was just some... So, would Craig Thompson want BYU back? I'm like... I gave the political correct answer saying, who wouldn't want a good team back in your conference? You know what I mean? It's like... You know what I mean? Who wouldn't want... If Cal's available or UCLA, who wouldn't want them in your league? Who doesn't want Notre Dame, right? It's like, come on, pal. And he goes back, so was the mountain the reason to fail? I'm like, dude, really? You're asking me a 7-year-old question about the mountain channel? I gave a good answer that nobody's probably said, but regardless. So, real quick thing. Daryl Gerritsen, you know how we all liked him last year and how many wins he had and how well he played?
Yeah.
He didn't really play all that well. Sorry, I'm not being as positive.
He really didn't. I told you this.
You brought this to my attention, yes. Outside of beating up on a UNLV team, and shoot, I don't have his numbers in front of me, but did they play New Mexico when he got a start?
Yes.
two games over 300 yards. The one game for CSU was weird because he had like 50 yards passing. But he had 7 interceptions, 10 touchdowns, not throwing very well. His completion percentage has improved, but they need him to 65% of the pass completions against BYU and get the ball to JoJo Natson a lot. And hopefully Joe Hill might be able to play a running back. If all that happens, they may win, but I'm with you. It'll be, I say BYU's going to win, but it'll be by about maybe double digits, 9 to 10 points.
All right, next game, Tulsa, Colorado State. Colorado State should win this game heavily. Let's move on.
Yeah, we're chatting a lot. This Tulsa team, they are terrible on defense.
Oh, absolutely. Did you not watch the Tulsa Tulane game at the beginning of the year?
Why would I do that?
Because it's football.
Of course, naturally.
No, that game, I mean, we all were like, oh, look how much Tulane has improved. Oh, look, Tulane is winning this whole game. Oh, look, Tulsa ties it up. Oh, my goodness. Like, you'd think that Tulane is actually pretty good. And then they realize that, oh, wait, Tulsa's only win has to come in double overtime in a game they were losing the whole time.
Did you know the Florida Atlantic game, 50-21?
Yeah, they gave up 50 points to Florida Atlantic, a team that Wyoming only gave up 17 points to.
Tulsa can throw reasonably well with Dane Evans. He's
very, very good.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
He has almost 1,200 yards in the season already.
Well, when you're losing by that many points, you got to score. You got to throw the ball a lot. He completes only about 50% of his passes. He does have 8 touchdowns, but also has 7 interceptions. So, and they allow a lot of sacks. So maybe Corey James will have a big game to get to the quarterback. I'm going to say I think the Rams could be the bet. Sorry, stupid ESPN auto video screwed me up. This game also, for those who are wondering, it's on the American Sports Network.
What is the American Sports Network? Because I honestly have no idea what that is.
Good question. It took me a while to look this up. It's essentially a Sinclair local-owned channels. So what I was able to conjure up was that it will be on the CW, your local CW affiliate, or the My Network TV affiliate.
Okay.
But possibly regional coverage as well. Because I randomly see games from the ACC network on those channels, so check your local My Network TV or My TV or CW to find this game. 3 Eastern, it's a home game, which is weird. Wrong game. This is the Campus Insiders game. I apologize.
It'll be on Mountain West Connection. I mean, Mountain West.
Campus. And, yeah,
used to be on Mountain West Connection.
There was a change in format, so we were denied, as was everybody else. Sorry, the American Sports Network will be a fact you'll need to know momentarily, but csurams.com/video or campusinsiders.com. That's where you can find it. But the thing is, I want to see D. Hart have another big game. He did 100 yards last game, finally. And I want to see Garrett Grayson. Also throw very well. Joe Hansley should be back in this game. However, did you hear the unfortunate news for the Colorado State tight end?
Yeah, Kevon Cartwright.
Out for the year.
Sucks. Because Cartwright was an all-Mountain West player.
Yeah, he was probably the best tight end, yeah. Possibly his career as well might be over as well. So that sucks. He was an tight end, H-back type of guy in the backfield, trying to require an additional ankle surgery. So that's tough. So Rams are, what was the line in this game? Was it Rams what?
Opening, 12? I have it on our infograph. It's at minus 15. On
18 now.
The ESPN website, it's at minus 18. I'm still picking Colorado State.
Who did I pick? Did I pick CSU? Or did I go Tulsa?
Tulsa.
Yeah, I think I go Tulsa. That's a lot of points. I can see him doing it, but Rams have never really been favored by that much in a while. D. Hart has a good game versus Boston College, but versus UC Davis and Boise, he did very little. So,
New Mexico. I'm doing it. That's my large pick.
Okay. Here's another large pick. New Mexico at UTSA.
How is a team that's 1-3 playing another team that's 1-3 and yet favored by 17 points?
Well, UTSA lost to Arizona, Oklahoma State.
You can't say Texas Tech is a good team.
And
Texas Tech is horrible, and they lost to Texas Tech.
Oh, I was thinking the other, and Texas Tech. They beat a Houston team we thought was good, but here's what this is where the game's at 3:30 Eastern, the American Sports Network. So check your CW, My Network TV. Here's what I don't get. We all love Football Bob, right?
Football Bob.
Quarterback. How can you continue to go back to Cole Gallatin as a quarterback?
Especially since Lamar Jordan has, I mean, even in the loss versus Fresno State last week, Lamar Jordan was there making most of the throwing passes.
He didn't even start that game. I was watching the game, like, who's going to start? Clayton Mitchell. I'm like, okay, fine, coach, do what you want, but we know, I can't repeat myself as many times as I can. We know Gauchi, he's a junior. He's been a starter for 3 years, and he still can't throw. But somehow he moves the ball very well on the ground and can move, drive the offense. But they can't get as many points as they need. Jordan can throw the ball and run the ball. He may not move it as well as Gauchi, but if it's 3rd and 7, they have to respect his arm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gauchi, they bring the pressure.
If this is turning into a Lamar Jordan as a strictly 3rd down quarterback...
But that's even worse. If it's 3rd down, if they expect him to throw, well, make your plan around what you're going to do.
Can we have a literal dual quarterback system where two quarterbacks are playing at the same time?
Why not?
And one plays running back?
You could have Gauchy do that. Or even better, is one of the guys left-handed, do you know?
I don't know.
Well, even if they're not, it'd be great if they are, but... if the center was talented enough, don't put
someone... You can snap it to either one?
Yeah, have a split backfield with no quarterback in the center, and then just go to whoever. Why not? Because the thing is, Davey said Gauchy could be ready to play. He had a hamstring injury, but it has to be Jordan. He is capable of moving the ball. He can throw the ball, which is my biggest thing about the offense. They have... I got to check in Carlos Wiggins' status. I'm not sure if it's changed, but...
No, he's still out for this.
He's still out?
Whoa. He was out 4 to 6 weeks when he went out.
Wait, what happened to him? I thought it was a light injury.
No. It was Gauchy with a light injury.
Oh, man, I got this mixed up. Oh, I apologize.
I'll double check this, but I'm pretty sure Wiggins is still out.
I know he missed last game, but he played 2 weeks before just punt returning. Well, yeah, regardless of the offense, they need... I don't get why UTSA is... a 17-point favorite. That just seems ridiculous. Oh, really quick, if you're in the Albuquerque area, it'll be on My 50, My TV channel, or I guess it's called My 50 TV. So My TV, so check out that channel. It's probably the channel where you get Gunsmoke, Bonanza,
okay, so he
Bonanza
is listed,
and the Mod Squad.
Hey, he is listed questionable.
What was his actual injury? Maybe I just somehow just missed me.
Hamstring.
Ah, hamstring. So what... One thing they do get back, they do get a linebacker back, and they get Trajan Briggs.
They do.
Which could be helpful, because UTSA wants to move, run a lot of plays. He's a inside linebacker. He'll play a lot of experience. He was a running back years ago, but now he's moved to linebacker in high school. But they need, after his ankle injury, he had his senior, he's finally going to play. Maybe that'll shore up the defense. But UTSA, they want to run a lot of plays, because that Arizona game... It was reasonably exciting with them able to go up and down the field with the Wildcats. Or, excuse me, they played the... Yeah. Wildcats, sorry. I was thinking of Arizona State, who played New Mexico.
Yeah.
What do you think... Because I've seen a decent amount of UTSA watching that game. They have, like, Tucker Carter. That was okay. They're a pretty balanced team. They don't seem to do anything great. Because Oklahoma State, he only threw for 51 yards.
Yeah, they're a team that has the potential to be dangerous, but at that same time, you know, they should have beat Arizona. They should have beat Texas Tech. There's a lot of should have.
They didn't play Texas Tech, UTSA.
They did play Texas Tech.
No, they played Houston, Arizona, Oklahoma State, Florida, Atlanta, Atlantic. They lost the Florida Atlantic 41-37.
Oh,
you're thinking of some other team.
I'm thinking of, must be thinking, sorry.
Maybe Texas State, I don't know.
once again, they should have beat Arizona. They should have beat Florida Atlantic. I'm sorry about that.
They
lose Florida Atlantic.
Yeah. It was on the road.
Why is New Mexico what?
That's, I mean, 17 points. I'm going all New Mexico. You'll never hear me say it again, but
I'm going New Mexico on this one. Yeah.
100% New Mexico's going to cover.
Is this my stupid upset pick of the week? I'm going to go ahead and call this my stupid upset pick of the week.
Double down. I'm going with you. Outright win for New Mexico.
Yep.
As well. Crap. I just said it, but. Kind of a caveat that only if Lamar Jordan plays the whole game at quarterback. Can I go that route?
No.
I can't sneak that in. Yeah. Fine. It's your stupid upset pick because Chris wants to hold one for another week. Chris Turner. I'm like, no, but he still held one back. I'm like, fine, you're terrible. Positive. Sorry. No, you're not terrible. I just would like to have had a stupid upset pick to go with mine.
But, oh, too bad. Both of them stupid upset picks. Both in New Mexico.
New Mexico, I just don't get the 17 points. That just boggles the mind because they are – UTSA is not very –
the Lobos should cover this.
Oh, there are – here's what doesn't make sense. They're at 100 passing yards per game, 106 rushing yards per game. They're 90th for points for and 87th for points against. How does that equate to being a nearly 3-touchdown home favorite?
Because San Antonio? Alamo Dome? I don't know. Larry Coker.
Ah, there we go. We found it. He won a national title somehow.
Yes.
That flag still coming out of the guy's pocket to help him out. All right. Next game, Navy. We're going. This is a long show tonight. Navy and Air Force. Sorry, folks. We'll blast through this.
Yeah, this is what happens when I come back.
We talk a lot of different things. But Navy and Air Force, CBS Sports Network, 3:30 Eastern. First game for Commander-in-Chief.
Sink Navy.
Sink Navy. Except we have our photog there taking some photos for us, which would be nice. Also, there's a Air Force had a surprise visitor at practice the other day.
Yes, Mr. Herschel Walker himself.
Excuse me, former Heisman Trophy winner Herschel Walker and the trade partner to help my Dallas Cowboys win multiple Super Bowls. So thank you, Herschel Walker.
Yes.
I'm going all out with that. He has a video. It's up on our website. Him chatting with the Air Force guys, telling how he beats up 20-year-old guys in MMA.
This is huge. This is absolutely huge. And obviously it's huge because it's Commander-in-Chief's trophy, first leg. But it's also huge because Air Force was not expected to be this good.
No.
They weren't expected to be good at all.
No, they obviously beat up on Boise State. Had a great – it's a two-way street. Air Force played amazing. They should have scored more points, but they got the job done. And this Navy game, it is their biggest rival of any team they play.
Yeah, bigger than Wyoming, State, that's a geographic CSU. Rival, but it is not like Navy.
Commander-in-Chief, I still think this game's bigger than Army-Navy. At least it should be. Should be getting more respect.
No, it's not bigger than – no, it cannot be.
Competitive.
It's 115 years old this year.
Competitive-wise, it should be this game.
Past well, decade. Recently competitive-wise, yes. Recently. Navy holds a 12-game advantage over Army.
I know.
But this is, I mean...
Here's the thing. They've lost to Rutgers, Western Kentucky, the Navy, both home games. You lost to New York State's team in New Jersey, Rutgers. Keenan M. Reynolds, he hasn't been healthy this year. He had 30 touchdowns last year, which he would believe is the fourth player to go along with Capri Bibbs, Barry Sanders, and Monte Ball, Wisconsin. Got those names right there. He hasn't been playing very well. Has only 2 touchdowns on the ground. Or, excuse me, not 2. It gave me the passing numbers. Dang you, ESPN, you're the worst. 9 rushing touchdowns. He's been pretty good. He missed the Texas State game. They won. This isn't the best Navy team, but these two teams are kind of opposite direction a little bit. Navy's kind of been downgraded the past couple years. They're not as good as they were, but they're still likely a bowl team. But
this Air Force team has a chance. But on the other hand, though, this Air Force team has a chance to really make some more noise.
4-1?
It's not because this Navy team is great. It's because, once again, this Air Force team is good.
Yeah, they held Jay Ajayi to, 68 yards rushing, I believe, last week.
They had Boise State force 7 turnovers.
Yeah, 5 interceptions and 2 fumbles. they held, like, the running game's the key with Navy. This will be the quick game. Yeah, Ajayi actually had 63 yards. They averaged 3.3 yards a carry for Boise State. And that's, to stop Ajayi like that, it's pretty impressive. So they'll need to stop Keenan Reynolds. Let's not have any fights or personal fouls. That's going to happen to pass, or at least blatant ones that's going to happened in this game the past couple of years. We know what's going to happen. It's going to be option-based offense the whole way. Teams are going to be fighting.
Top blocks.
Yeah. Careful. Don't blow any ankles or knees, guys. Don't cut block illegally, please. This will be a game where it's going to be a decent amount of points. Because every time they play, it's not that it's high scoring, but there's a reasonable amount of points each and every year on these team play. It's whoever's going to stop that running game against each other, she's going to win. Or, and cliche, but the turnover battle.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like, because unlike last year, where Navy got up to, Navy won last year 28-10. They got up to a big lead, or not a big lead, but they got up to seven their second half. Excuse me, I'm reading the backwards here. They came out second half and just thrashed 21-0 in the second half to win 28-10. I don't see either team getting ahead big, because last year Keenan Reynolds 3 touchdowns on the ground, 120 something plus yards last season. What do you think the difference is just going to be? Stopping the running attack from either side?
I think it's going to be Air Force defense forcing turnovers.
Not Kale Pearson actually throwing the ball a lot?
Yes.
So which one is it? Yes and yes?
Kale Pearson, while Keenan Reynolds does need to throw the ball a lot, Kale Pearson does not. And when he does throw, it's been pretty spot on.
He's been pretty good. Look at the Wyoming game. He did pretty well doing that.
Yeah. So, but I really think it's Air Force defense that's going to have it.
I do too. And then also, if looking at last year's numbers, Air Force defense has gotten much better. But the running game last year, they didn't really have a running back. Yeah, it was Brome Hart, John Lee, Anthony Lacoste, they are okay. This year, we got Jacoby Owens is the guy.
And that's all we need to say.
They didn't have the guy last year, really. Brome Hart did well. We know Lacoste did pretty good when he played. John Lee, they kind of split time to where they're playing well. But they got one guy, and that's what they need to be the main guy. Then they'll have 5 or 6 or 7 other guys run about 4 times each and just get 6 yards of carry. That's why I think Air Force is going to win. I'm going to call Air Force win by 10 points. I think they can get it done.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think the spread here on this game
4. Was, Navy is 4.
Navy was favored by 4 points.
Plus 4 for Navy.
Yeah, Air Force is going to take this.
I don't. That's another weird line. There's been a bunch of lines that's been, I don't know what's going on here. All right, Hawaii at Rice, later evening, 7 Eastern, American Sports Network. So, again, check your local listings. Hawaii at Rice. How is Rice a touchdown favorite when Rice is also very bad?
I don't know.
This is a Rice team that won Conference USA last year, 10-4, but
maybe because Hawaii's using the quadrant system again?
Well, it's going to be, I think there's still an issue with who's going to be the quarterback. We know it's
not. Rice just won their first football game last week, and so Donovan Sebastian.
They do, but Southern Miss is pretty bad.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Oh, I must have. Sorry, I must have broke up there. But if it's well, here's the main thing. Stephen Lock has been filled in admirably, very well with Joey Iosefa, who's still out.
Joey Iosefa is basically giving him some like Hawaiian, you know, tiki power strength to become just a dominant running back.
Yeah, we knew Lakalaka was pretty good. But
yeah, we knew it was going to be a good 1-2 punch, but now that Lakalaka is the man, you're absolutely right. He's filled in admirably. He's filled in better than admirably.
Oh, yes. Very. 100, what do you have? I believe two games of over 100 yards already.
Yeah.
What Rice does, they here's the thing, they give a lot of points. And what Hawaii needs to do, like I was on the guy who calls the plays for Hawaii, the radio guy, name escapes me. I've been on the show for quite a bit. I can't recall what it is. But me and him both agree, obviously, you can't kick field goals. You need touchdowns.
Absolutely.
You have to get, like the Colorado game, you lose 21-12. You got to have a touchdown.
The Washington game.
Two things we clearly both agree on. You gotta have field goals. Or not have field goals, excuse me. Touchdowns, not field goals. And you can't have the big play. Like, they give up a huge 70 to 80 yard touchdown pass versus Colorado. That huge play versus Washington on the, was that the, after that trick play that failed. They just need to, because defense has been playing better than what people are giving them credit for. It's just a big play here or there is why they're losing. Outside the Oregon State game, it went ahead, but that's, their defense has gotten better. They just need touchdowns and don't give up that huge play.
Yeah. And I think Taylor Graham needs to be starting the quarterback.
That's what we thought as well. We're discussing, like, because he only played a couple of games last year. I don't think the word hasn't even came out of who's starting or not. But it is a situation last year. We don't know how healthy Taylor Graham was. We know he had a shoulder injury last year. I believe he had to have surgery on it. Only played a couple of games. But we don't know how healthy he was even when he was playing and starting last year. And that is a reason maybe to give him a chance. Because right now, it is Woosley listed as a starter on the depth chart. So all signs indicate he'll be a starter. But there's got to be a reason that if he doesn't perform well, let's switch it up. And I'll be fine with that.
Yep.
As for what Rice does, their quarterback, this is a name to know, Dreyfus Jackson. Interesting name there. They don't throw all that well. He doesn't turn the ball over that much. He runs a little bit. So they got to have the linebackers kind of hold him down a little bit, don't let him get too much. The running game with Joe and Davis is nothing. They do nothing special. That's the thing. They're not that great. One thing they need to make aware of, Davis past two games over 280 yards in two games and two touchdowns. So just key on that guy and make him throw a little bit and not give him a big play. Does that sound about right? Does that make
sense?
That
sounds perfect.
So who do you got? You got, I went with Hawaii, correct?
I went with Hawaii.
It's a 7-point line for Rice. So are you going outright or just the cover, the 7?
I'm going at least cover.
I'm going for the win.
I'm not sure if I have enough win.
Going for the win. Warriors will win.
Okay.
On the mainland, no less. So.
Okay.
That's bold. That's bold, man. That's bold.
It's pretty bold.
Then we got UNLV at San Jose State. The only game that's on the ESPN Network on Saturday, and it's on ESPN News.
And holy hell, how does San Jose State have an 11-point advantage over UNLV?
You know how? Rebels are terrible.
Rebels are terrible.
Sorry.
I'm not going back on my team, but it's hard to...
Sorry, we need to be positive. They're struggling.
They are struggling. And see, once again, it comes back to this. They have so many bright spots. They have so many
Devontae Davis bright spots,
but they can't click. And with the loss of Penei Bea on defense, it's not working. Something needs to change.
Is it time to go to Nick Sherry?
Yes.
Decker threw reasonably well last week.
Here's the thing I heard about Nick Sherry. Somebody was conducting an interview around campus, and they actually talked with Nick Sherry. And Nick Sherry, see, here's the thing. Nick Sherry's like an academic. He's very focused on his academics as well as his football.
As you should be.
He wants to make, you know, an actual career. He doesn't want to be, make a career in football.
Well, he may not. I don't think he has the chance to do that, really.
Huh?
It's going to be difficult for him to continue playing, going to NFL.
It's going to be difficult. But, you know, when you have many different things distracting your mind, you know, it's great when he fills in. But UNLV needs to change the culture. So how are you going to change the culture?
Well, a couple of things. Shaquille Murray Lawrence is banged up. He's supposed to be starting running back.
Yes, but Lou Fowl is more than a reliable back.
But how come he barely got any touches last week versus San Diego State? Because I thought the same thing. He only had, let me pull those numbers up here really quick. He didn't have that many carries. I think he had like 2.
What I heard earlier from what I was saying? It wasn't for sure. See, it wasn't for sure. It was speculation. My friend and I were working on our project for school, and we started talking football because he's both a huge UNLV fan and I am as well. But this is, and this is because, you know, coming from the same guy, he's not affiliated with the department or anything like that. But the other thing is noticing when watching the way the Rebels play, how is playing guys who are sized like they should play? Does that make sense? Let me rephrase that.
Yeah, rephrase that for me.
How is coaching based off people who have the best fit physically for the position?
So, like, what position are you referring to then?
Every position. Like, look at how the Rebels have gotten bigger, or seemingly gotten bigger. It's because he's done this. You know, he has basically been able to build a football team and football players out of ideal positions. But what happens? You know, what happens when you have guys who fit the size and the strength and the fit of the position, but they don't fit in your system? They don't fit in your coaching. They look lost. It comes back to this. Why is Decker struggling so much when last year versus community college teams, he is putting up nearly 5,000?
Well, it's the level, man. JUCO, it's a big step. High school at JUCO is not that big of a difference.
Well, you're right.
JUCO
you're right.
To FBS, even in a mediocre Mountain West, that's still a big, big jump. I get they played Arizona and everything and those type of teams.
It's a huge jump. And one of the things that I'm, you know, one of the things, I'll be honest, that I'm watching a replay of Decker right now, of him being sacked by a San Diego State player last week. You know, very, very little awareness. He's scrambling out of the pocket way too easily. He's not trusting his offensive line. And don't get me wrong, his offensive line is not protecting him.
Well, they lost the guy to Arkansas after the it was all conference with the APR issue. But they got – I don't know what – how – because here's the thing. With Bobby Houck, there's already regions who didn't like they got a pay raise and extension. Because, like, we need – I get it. We need to focus on academics and everything. But then I also agree with him because it was their first good year ever. Why do that now? Make them do it another year or so.
Houck is not a bad coach.
Really?
No.
Look at his wins. He's been there. What, has he been there for 6 years already?
Four. Houck is not a bad coach. He has not. What Houck has failed to do is he's failed to successfully change the culture completely around.
This is his fifth year. He's 14-42.
But yeah, you do realize that as a coach though, it's not just all X's and O's.
No, I know, but he's been there through one complete recruiting cycle. I get two wins doesn't help you in that regard. He got the 7 wins, you figured that would help last year. It won't help this class this year, but next year it could.
No, remember, because look, what happened when they go to a bowl game? They get slapped with a bowl ban because of things that had happened before.
The 1 year, yeah. There's a one really bad year.
One really bad year. They get hit for that. Players are allowed to leave. They'll take off.
Well, they only lost
Nobody two, wants to stay.
They only lost two players. They lost a backup running back to Arizona and the starting left guard or tackle to Arkansas. They didn't lose
you
like 10 players.
Understand how everything is met. But do you understand how psychological the game is as well as physical?
Yeah. Oh, I do. But the bowl ban was reversed in August.
Right.
So that I don't buy that being an excuse of why you're playing poorly because you thought you – because at one point you didn't have the chance to go to the postseason, but now you do. It's not like you played three games and realized you can have a chance to go and you're 0-3. They knew they got the reward back before the season began. So I don't think that's a reasonable excuse.
What did I tell you about the Northern Illinois game after they lost?
I don't recall. What was that?
It was they had stayed in this game. They were fighting back. And remember, they had the chance to win that game.
They do, but they just don't. They see the guy who can run the offense, and they don't have that guy.
Right.
Yeah, Decker threw for 346 last week, barely 50%, and had 2 interceptions. And no running game to speak of. They have arguably the best wide receiver who caught zero passes last week. Targeted, I think, once.
And that's a huge problem. Don't even get me started on that.
So that's the issue. Devontae Davis, come on. Him and Marcus Sullivan could be outside of the Boise State grouping. Should be.
But my question is, why isn't he targeted? Why is he hardly targeted?
It's the quarterback's fault. I don't know. He's not.
This goes beyond quarterback issues.
Davis has always been good, so he can't. Look what Davis did last year with Caleb Herring throwing him the ball. He's one of the best in the league. Let me grab it right now to see what he did last year. He was, and I get Caleb Herring was a better quarterback, but Devontae Davis was third in the Mountain West and had 99 yards per game, 87 receptions, which was fifth, 14 touchdowns, which is only behind Devontae Adams' ridiculous 24 and Chandler Jones' 15. So it's not just Devontae Davis has been playing terrible. This is a quarterback situation.
Right, but you can't. How many times was he targeted
last year? I don't know. He had 87 receptions. Here's the thing. Freshman, okay, sophomore year, 61, 87. Seven. He's getting four catches a game. He was getting about eight last year, or seven last year. That's not all on him. It can't just be he's dropped off that bad.
No, it's not a drop-off issue. I'm telling you, it's not a drop-off issue. It might not be a quarterback issue. There might be something deeper.
I don't think so. I'm going to blame the quarterback because that's easy to see. It's true. Decker hasn't been – he's not completing that many passes, so I'm going to blame him. So here's what I want to see. We've spent a lot on UNLV. San Jose State, here's what I want to see. I want to see what Joe Gray can do at quarterback getting his second start. Because last week he did reasonably well versus Nevada. The pick six made the game a bit wider. Because 21-10 was really 14-10 with the pick six. He seems to be 32-46 isn't that bad, but two interceptions. And Tyler Winston is back. He should be fully healthy after that foot injury, I believe it was, or toe. And did you see Billy Freeman leap that defender last week?
Yes.
That's pretty nice. I'm going. Yeah, I think San Jose State. I don't know how well they're going to be the whole year, but they're going to win and cover this game.
So you're going to place them on covering 11 points.
Yeah, I'll go with it. Again, UNLV, until they prove it to me for more than 1 year, I'm never going to pick them again.
I'm not going to pick them to win. I will pick them to cover.
Okay, fair enough. Next game, final game, as we already approach the 1 hour mark. Oh, great. Boise State.
15 minutes of that arguing about UNLV.
Yeah, you're wrong, by the way. Boise State at Nevada.
8 week is here.
This is.
I hate Nevada dance. Right.
Yeah.
I hate Nevada.
As I mentioned, 2010, Kyle Bronsman High School goalpost to fire you up or make you be steaming mad.
Oh, I'm pissed.
Boise at Nevada. It's a 5-point favorite toward Boise. Are you surprised by that line?
Yes.
I would have assumed it would have been maybe Nevada like 4.5.
Yeah, I would have suspected that Nevada should have an advantage here.
Once again, if we've
learned anything, Vegas, as crazy as they sound, have been
they're good
in terms of the spreads this week.
they're always good. The wise guys, I just watched the Jimmy the Greek documentary on ESPN. They know what they're doing. They're no dummies. And
here's my question, though. I'm taking a look. Right now, I'm taking a look. See, this spread hasn't changed much.
One thing that's odd, it's increased. It went from 3 to 4.5. That's kind of surprising.
That is very, to me, that's very surprising.
Why is Boise State being favored on the road even more after getting... They just played awful. I'm giving Air Force – I hate this. You want to give Air Force plenty of credit because there was plenty of great plays. They were fast. They were harassing. They stopped J.H.I. in his tracks. This was a two-touchdown game. And so it wasn't like they needed to throw every single time with Grant Hendrick or even when Finley came in.
Conspiracy theory?
What is it?
People are still betting on Boise to win.
Well, clearly, that's why. That is why. What do you mean? That's clearly why, but why is the reason that's the case? What confidence do they have to say that on the Boise State side?
Talent.
That's it.
That's pretty much it.
All right, is this really your actual?
Look, I'm not an odd maker. I can't.
I'm not going there. I'm trying to think of the right word to say. We know you love Boise State, and Nevada you hate. Is this an objective reason, just talent?
Did I just say what my pick was going to be? No, I'm just going based off what why odds makers would make this
pick. Okay, I thought you were referring to your opinion.
No, got but in my personal opinion, Boise State overall is a more talented team. Fajardo is possibly one of the best players in the Mountain West, if not the best player in the Mountain West right now.
No, it's still he's been, I'm
he's been sneaky. He's been sneaky this year.
Yeah.
And why do I say he's been sneaky is because he has not been seemingly as dominant as he was in, you know, past couple years.
Well, it's because they have a reasonable, not as good as running attack I'd like to see, but Don Jackson is doing well enough to.
You want to know? You want to know? Do you want to know how this Nevada team? Oh, you want to know how the how this Nevada team doesn't have an advantage right now?
What's that?
They rank 98th in the nation in passing yards, with slightly under 200.
Whoa!
Let me continue.
Okay.
This pistol offense, this heavy pistol offense that we've known so well that would rack up the yards no matter what, they rank 46th in the nation. Okay? That still equals to 189.5 rushing yards in the nation. That's a lot, but yeah. That's nearly not top 25 like we're used to seeing.
No.
They're still giving up. They're still scoring just above 25 points per game. That's not our typical Nevada team. The biggest thing that we've seen is that points against, that defense.
How? It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. How is this a defense that has been giving up less than 20 points a game?
They're only giving up.
They barely survived Southern Utah 28-19. They let SUU back in, the Thunderbirds.
Yeah.
They beat Washington State by stifling them on defense.
Yeah, if you look at the numbers.
They lost to Arizona, but they contained Arizona somewhat.
Pick six versus San Jose State.
Pick six versus San Jose State. That otherwise, that game would be much closer than it should have been.
And that Washington State game, as we talked about, they beat. But we know Washington State's not great. At least we think they're not that great. But, well, who knows? They made a big comeback from Utah behind to win down 21-0. They took Oregon to the wire, and the terrible PI call hurt them that way to have a chance to win. But that was one. We looked at the numbers; like those numbers weren't impressive.
No, and this is not. And this is not a Nevada team that's putting up tons of points. Look at this. Fajardo, 81 of 119. Okay, good completion percentage. But 798 yards, that's more than in the past, I believe. Don Jackson only has 329 yards per year. The second running back, Cody Fajardo. There's no second punch outside of the quarterback.
Yeah.
And Fajardo has 246 yards. But this team is driving. They're picking up the yardage. They're driving, but they're not scoring as much.
They've had field goals. Like the Arizona game, there's two, was it 22 and 23rd field goal? In the first couple drives. But then one thing, I'm watching this, well, kind of watch right now, this Arizona is playing Oregon. Are we need, because we already seen Washington State take Oregon to the wire. Now Arizona is 7-3 at the half. This is Thursday night, result will be in later, obviously. But are we not giving, should we give more credit to Nevada? Because they had a very good chance to beat Arizona. They did beat Washington State, and those two teams are playing the number two team in the country extremely well. Does that? I know it's hard to transfer that, but you have to give some look at that same example when you play two teams who played one of the best teams in the country that close.
No, I think it's something that we have to consider. I think it's something that we have to consider that I think it's something that we have to consider that Nevada's defense has stepped up.
Ian Say and Brock Heckinger are two of the reasons.
Yes.
So what do you think of Boise State? Because Boise State, they're not going Ryan Finley. They're sticking with Grant Hedrick. What do you think will – how do you think this game will play out then?
Well, Hedrick, I mean, the thing about Hedrick is Hedrick responded the week after. After the first week, four interceptions versus Ole Miss, they, they did – Hedrick did respond. It was still another two interceptions, but he had two touchdowns go along with it. He did respond versus
the home opener. Hedrick is going to do what Hedrick is going to do. He's not going to, you know, I don't think he's going to be as dynamic or whatnot. But this game is going to belong to Ajayi. It's going to come down to Ajayi, and it's going to come down to Fajardo. And guess what? To this point, I would make the argument that while Nevada's defense has been very good, they have not seen a defense like Boise State's yet.
You mean offense?
No. Nevada's offense has not seen...
Oh, you said Nevada's defense.
Sorry. Let me rephrase that. Nevada's offense has not seen a defense like Boise State's.
Sure, that's an excellent point.
And this is an offense, a pistol offense, that Boise State is very, very accustomed to.
Yeah, it's an excellent point. It's got to be a close game because as much as you made fun of me and other people said, oh, Nevada's not going to win the West, they got a schedule to win the West. And I went big on schedule, and they haven't even got to that part of the season yet. Because I mentioned Boise, CSU, San Diego State, Fresno, all at home. And they're right now sitting one of them. Let's get to our questions here before we actually.
So wait.
Predictions first.
Let's go ahead. Make your prediction. Who's winning this game?
What did I say? I don't recall what I said. Sorry. You tell me my prediction. I said. I think I said Nevada, right?
You said Nevada is going to win, or at least cover.
It's 4 points right now.
4 points right now.
5 points actually for Boise. Oh no! Nevada. No, they'll. I said Nevada's going to cover. That's what I went by. I didn't go
you
by.
You said Nevada's going to cover. Yeah. Are they going to win?
Well, 5 points is tricky, and that's what Vegas wants you to do.
I'm going Boise State wins. I'll tell you. I'm not hiding my homerism here.
I'm going Nevada. Because, yeah, I'm going Nevada. I like Cody Fajardo. The defense has stepped up. I don't think Grant Hedrick's going to play. He's not going to play as bad as he did last week, but he's still. He's not progressing as what people thought. There's a joke on Twitter. Hey, Rippin signed. Could he just hop into play this week? Because he's coming in enrolling early. I don't think they'll go to Ryan Finley. I don't think he'll have like five interceptions. I think Hacking and Ian Sale will have a big impact on this game in the passing attack. And I think, yeah, I'm going Nevada's going to win by a touchdown.
I'll go Boise State to cover and win. And I'm going to go Boise State by a touchdown.
Regardless, this is going to be a close game. It's not going to be more than 10 points either way.
So, Twitter questions.
Twitter. Let's go to the Boise State question right now. Right here from Fernet Bronco. This is our Buster Bronco Esquire. Is he a lawyer? ESQ, hopefully.
Yes.
You can't be lying about that because Twitter name is official. You know that.
Yes.
So, if Boise loses to UNR, is that the proper term for Nevada Reno?
So, I actually looked this up. Because I've always called Nevada UNR because I grew up in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So the University of Nevada does not like to be called UNR.
Okay.
And officially, they go by Nevada in terms of Nevada athletics. Yeah. However,
do you like to be called Nevada Reno?
However, the University of Nevada Reno, on their emails, whenever you're emailing somebody official, it is always .UNR. Or at unr.edu. It is not at nevada.edu.
Interesting. I'll give him a pass if he's mocking or not. On Twitter, you have limited space, so UNR is appropriate.
No, UNR is always appropriate because I hate Nevada.
Okay, here's the thing.
I know Nevada fans hate to be called UNR.
I'm assuming in this
region. More of a UNLV thing, UNR, UNLV.
Yeah.
But they hate it.
I will also say, for the sake of argument, they did it because of space in Twitter. I'll go with that.
Fine.
So if Boise loses to UNR, as I say, quote UNR, what does this do to their Mountain West title hopes?
All but erased.
Well, you got two losses.
Losses, one division loss. Remember that Boise State can still win the division by winning the rest of their division games.
Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Unless there's a tie, it goes by common opponents. But it'll be quite difficult because Nevada... Like I said, Nevada gets CSU at home. San Diego, yeah, they got San Diego State and Fresno both at home. I would say it hurts it quite a bit, but not as bad as people think. Because Nevada does have to play those tough teams, and again, at home, even though I think they're capable of winning those games. Or at least, let's just say, not a for sure loss. Boise also hosts Fresno, and they host San Diego State as well, so it washes out. Then they get Utah State, which we'll see. It'll put a severe dampering on there, but if you're two losses to Nevada, zero. That means Nevada has to lose three times. So let me backtrack that. If you lose this game, you're not winning the division. Let's just go straight forward. Is that?
Excuse me, Boise State and Nevada are not in the same division.
Oh, am I mixing these up again already? Week six.
Yes.
Sorry. I apologize. Two losses. Let me actually go to the actual standings here. Would be Colorado State, and Boise's already beat them, so it hurts them. Okay, I'll go back to my original statement here. It hurts them, but not that bad because they beat CSU. It depends what Air Force and Wyoming can do. They're still they'll
Once,
be
again.
Fine.
That's exactly what I said. I said it all but erases them.
Sorry, I apologize. I'm just thinking they always play each other, so I'm thinking they're in the same division. So it doesn't really hurt them that bad. Obviously, you want to win, but that would put only Wyoming with zero losses and Utah State at the play. So it's still fine. This could be a rematch. I could realistically see this being a rematch.
Oh, I can too. Regardless of who wins this game.
Yeah, let's see. What do we got here? Based upon play to this point, which this is from our good friend Ogden Aggie. Based upon play at this point, which division has the best chance to host the title game?
Which division?
Yeah.
West.
But it goes by conference record, unless the team's ranked.
West.
You think the West will have the winner will have a better conference record?
Yeah.
Interesting. You don't think Nevada, San Diego State, Fresno might beat each other up a little bit?
I just said what I
know what you said. I know what you said. I'm just trying to.
You know, it's one of those things that, you know, if Nevada can, whoever's in front, San Diego State, Fresno State, Nevada, if one of those guys can basically sweep out and everybody else beat up on each other.
Yeah, we'll know more after today because we got Fresno Aztecs playing, and then the top three division teams in the West are all undefeated, but they all play conference games this weekend. Another follow-up question, well, at least on my end here, is there any team that's going undefeated in this league?
That's tough.
I'm going to say no. Nevada, I think Nevada's the best chance, but I'm going to go with no.
I'm going to say no, yeah.
All right, next question. Do you see any other questions?
Next question. Are there rumors that Jordan Wynn has a year
Chris Turner, voting? Hush. No. Jordan Wynn, I think technically he has 1 year left, but no. We know he's joking. He just wants to take Timmy Chang. Tommy Chang and Colt Brennan and combine them to make a super quarterback.
I'm going to go see right now on our Mountain West Connection Facebook page.
We have one question there.
Huh?
We have one question. I unpinned it, so it's at the bottom somewhere. I apologize. I am getting there momentarily because we post way too much, which is fine. Thank you for visiting our website. Yes. Scrolling. Oh, here we go. Do you think Colorado State's win, as is from Ben Fletcher, at Boston College, a team that beat USC 2 weeks prior, is the best team in the Mountain West so far this season? If not, what would you put at the top and why? Wasn't our poll Colorado State number one with Nevada?
Yes, I think he was, right? One or two?
There's a tie. No, there's a tie. Colorado State and Nevada. I'm still going Nevada number one just because how bad the Rams lost to Boise State.
And Colorado State does, and let's not forget this, Colorado State does hold the tiebreaker advantage over Boise State if it does come to that.
They do. We already kind of discussed
this earlier.
But over who? Over Boise?
Yeah. Sorry. Colorado State finishes the rest of the conference undefeated, and Boise State finishes. Yeah, no, never mind. Boise State has that tiebreaker.
Boise has to lose twice.
Yeah, Boise does have to lose twice. Okay,
I'd say the best team's Nevada, but CSU's right there. It's not far behind because they played well versus BC. They're just going to need some help to get to the title game. All right, do you have any questions on your account, your Twitter account there, Greek Padre? Do we have an update if you're at 400 followers yet or not?
391.
Ooh! Send out some scandalous tweets to get to 400.
I hate Nevada, I hate Nevada.
There you go. Well, he may gain followers that way, Boise followers then.
I'm going to gain Nevada followers just so they can tweet hate mail.
Maybe.
just remember that this hate is it's hate week because of football purposes. It's not hate week because of whatever.
All right, we had another question here. Okay, already had that question on the other one. Some are doubled up just because I put both accounts. So what's the question that you could answer but I can't? Is that the one where he hates Nevada?
He says, ugh, isn't Nevada just the worst? And yes, they are.
If you ask Boise State and UNLV fans, sure. Yeah.
Yes.
If you ask me, yeah, I don't know any Nevada fans, really. Not too many. I know a few.
He didn't say Nevada fans. He said Nevada.
Nevada. Oh, Nevada the state, then? Well, you got to be more specific.
No, he means the
University of I wonder if they mean the state.
I know very few Nevada fans. Very few of which I actually like.
Were there any other questions we had?
Hi, Keegan.
Yes, Keegan, yes. Coach Keegan.
Coach K.
Are there any other questions? I think that's it, I believe.
I think that's it.
So you're back for this week. This show is, sorry, I apologize, this show's been way longer than what it was. Do you have any parting shots about this weekend? Anything you want to discuss that we missed?
I love rivalry weekends just because...
And you, wait, really quick, you do get CBS Sports Network now, don't you?
I do.
Okay, because before, when you were in Southern California, you did not.
No, I didn't.
Should I give a secret out to what I'm doing this weekend?
Sure.
I will not be able to see the games live in the evening hours.
Boo!
Would you like to know why?
Boo this man!
Would you like to guess why?
I think you told me why, but I'm just going to say, why?
Why? Well, it's no fall wedding, so don't have to worry about that.
Okay, good.
A few months ago, we bought tickets to see Mr. Jim Gaffigan, who's pretty funny. No? You don't like that?
No. I mean, he's funny, but...
I can...
It's not football.
It's a 7 o'clock show here, Mountain Time, so... I'll see most of the games. It's just the games I really want to see. The Boise-Nevada game I'll have to not see until the morning because I'm probably not going to stay up that late to watch it when I get home. Depending how late I get home. It's only an hour show, but it's in whatever. A decent drive from where I live to get there. So,
way to finish strong.
Hey. You're going to handle the live chat then and be respectable to Nevada fans?
Twitter. I will handle the live
Twitter, you can do what you want. I don't care.
I will be respectful to Nevada fans as much as I possibly can.
In the chat.
Because I know the few that come around here are actually fairly nice human beings online.
It can always be fun to make just, it's fun sports stuff. It's not, we're not.
I know the great Icky Basin is, as much as he tries to basically make me crazy, his intentions are well and he's doing Hate Week the right way.
Yeah, fun with it. You just have fun with it. And so, really quick, what was our stupid upset pick? Were both of us taking New Mexico to win?
Yeah, we're taking New Mexico to win.
No, we're not going to Utah State for a stupid upset over BYU?
No, you might be, but I'm not.
I was leaning. I just like that Aggie defense, man. All right, so, yeah, we're done here. We're 80 minutes in. Sorry for the long show. You're back. If you listen this far, let us know if you listen to the very end. We had a good time. I felt we did well. We gave good content, and I'm still rambling. But
there's thoughtful analysis in these shows.
I would like to think so.
So
that's our show. Check us out, MWCConnection.com. And for those keeping track at home, let's see if I end the show properly and not screw up like I did the past few times. But MWCConnection.com, we've got a ton of content, clearly. Our Week 6 threads up, our story streams up. We'll have our Infograph on Friday morning. Listen to our shows. We're on SoundCloud, Stitcher, sometimes Blog Talk Radio, iTunes. Check us out. Except one more time, MWCConnection.com. We'll check everybody next time.